are listening to Principal Broadcasting, featuring the League of Professionals with Muriel Donnelly, weekdays 10 to 4 p.m., with current topics to elevate your career to the next level.
John Stevens here with Principal Broadcasting, and today my guest is Sarah Mingus. She is a licensed professional counselor. She's also a certified play therapist, and she is the owner of Playful Awareness, and that's located in Overland Park, Kansas. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. All right, so Playful Awareness, why don't you tell us what your practice does and what issues you're helping the people of Kansas with?
Sure. So Playful Awareness specializes in the use of play therapy and dialectical behavior therapy to help children, teens, adults, and couples play their way to happiness by playing with purpose. We also offer free essential oil educational workshops for our clients in the community to educate them about how essential oils can really help with overall health and wellness needs. And then we specialize in treating trauma, attachment, parent-child relationship issues, ADHD, codependency, and depression and anxiety, along with self-harm and suicide ideation. Basically, we help people create a life worth living. Right. And within that life includes joy and happiness.
Yeah, I have no idea how I have not heard of this ever. I also have no idea why this isn't in my life right now. I feel like even if you consider yourself mentally healthy, for some reason, I don't know, the thought of going to your therapist and playing seems like a great, super awesome idea. Now, I have heard of this with children. I know, especially with young kids, they tend to have like playrooms and stuff, you know, where kids feel a little bit more comfortable, but I have never heard of this for adults. Can you just explain a little about the process, the adult process, and what Playful Awareness does and help some of these adults, what kind of issues that you guys help with?
Yeah. So for example, I might draw a picture of a bridge on a piece of paper and okay. then have a client on one side draw what their life is like right now, and on the other side, what they want their life to be like. So it's a creative, artistic way to develop a treatment plan about what do we really want to focus on. It's a way that they can actually process through in a sense array first,
right.
and then emotionally, and then find the words and the language to be able to share it. When clients go through trauma, they have difficulties accessing language because when you're in fight-flight mode, your brain cuts off its ability to access this higher level functioning
right.
Tasks. So it's a great way to help calm your system down to be able to do that. And then I also recommend for adults that are having PTSD or trauma issues to actually play Tetris for about 10 minutes. I know that sounds very strange, but Tetris can actually block flashback and PTSD memories from forming.
Really?
When the blocks are dropping. Yes, when the blocks drop, it actually blocks that part of your brain, and it's really great for cravings as well.
That is absolutely insane. I mean, right. Tetris has been around since like the 80s, and I'm sure that I at least have never learned of it. I mean, I guess in a sense, it's very therapeutic just watching those blocks fall. But yeah, that's amazing. I cannot believe that. So now, did you come up with this program on your own?
Yeah. So in graduate school, I attended Avila University, and we were actually all trained in DBT therapy for an entire semester. And then towards the end of my program, I was introduced to play therapy, and I just loved it. I used to be painfully shy. People wouldn't guess that now, but I used to be painfully
yeah,
shy,
and I
really.
No idea.
Really loved the fact that you can do play therapy without having to verbally share things about yourself with the therapist, that you actually are in control of deciding what you want to share and what you don't want to share. And because they're trained in play, they can assess, hey, where are you at? And obviously they want your input, but it's a really great creative way. And I actually had a brother that had passed away, and I was dealing with some unresolved issues with that. And so when I went through my play therapy training, I actually used some of that myself as I was going through that. And it was so helpful for me,
wow.
the painfully shy student, that I knew if it worked for me as an adult, it had to be really great for a lot of other people.
That is insane. I wouldn't have guessed that you were shy. I am also a very shy person. I'm sure I picked the great occupation for being shy. Right. But okay, let me all right, so your clients, if I'm let's just say I'm in the Kansas area and I'm going through some issues and I come to you as a new client, what does your process look like from start to finish?
For really young children, 3, 4, 5, and 6, mm-hmm. I meet with the parents first. Especially when there's a co-parenting situation or a custody situation, to get all that background information and to make sure there's a good fit with myself and the parents. If there's not a good fit, then therapy really isn't going to be helpful, because especially with a child that young, the parents are definitely involved in that therapeutic process. So it's really important to me to join and make sure the clients feel comfortable. Some clients talk about how they feel like they're coming to a spa. I recently moved my office and they just loved it because it had that very comforting, relaxing atmosphere that they were really looking for. So I first do that. I tell them, you know, this is a partnership that it doesn't work if one person doesn't put in work as well. So it's really about coming out with solutions that are going to be appropriate and helpful for you. I always tell them, if I recommend something and you think there's no way I can do that, please let me know. We will definitely modify something, but we definitely don't want to overwhelm anybody. And I always tell them, you know, sometimes there's conflict when maybe something's being recommended or maybe a client is resisting. And I always tell people, a lot of the best relationships involve some level of conflict. And that's really just about people having a difference of opinion. So it's really about just coming together and making sure that's a really good fit. So I do that. And when I work with really little kids at the end of the session or before that, I'll let them know, I'll let the parents know kind of what the plan is. And then after 3 or 4 sessions, I'll sit down with the parents and say, so here's kind of where we're at. Here's kind of what I've seen. Just want to let you know, this is why we had a smell ball fight with cotton balls last week, or this is why we were blowing bubbles. It really does help with sensory processing. It really does help with attachment and that sort of a thing. So I always like to give them that education about, this isn't just a play date. Sometimes people will say, well, why can't I just play with my kids? And that's great. But parents don't have that play therapy background and training to assess, hey, what activity is going to best fit the need to address a certain issue. So I always like to educate parents and let them know about that. I do a lot of blogging. I let people know, hey, there's a lot of resources out there. If you get stuck in between sessions, definitely give me a call. Now, please don't call me at 10 o'clock at night unless it truly is an emergency. But I'll talk to you the next day. But really, and I have a playful but very authentic and validating approach with clients. And so they oftentimes tell me, I get it. They don't have to explain a lot because I just get it. And that also they feel very comforted, as if they've gotten their voice back.
Yeah. Now, during the play therapy with the kids, even though you're playing a game or drawing or what have you, are you questioning strategically, of course, but questioning the child on, you know, whatever it is that you're working on in that particular session?
It depends. There's actually several different types of play therapy. Play therapy, which is where the cotton ball fight and the blowing bubbles comes from.
Right.
Those are really just being in the moment and engaging and making eye contact and doing an activity that's fun and novel and really building that good relationship. So in that kind of approach, I'm not going to be asking them questions, except for, oh, do you know what day it is? Or do you know what month it is or what season it is, depending on the age of the child, to kind of make sure that they're understanding cognitively what they should be learning in their educational atmosphere. So I will do that. Sand tray therapy involves lots and lots and lots of miniatures, and they represent hopes, dreams, trauma, experiences, fears, all sorts of things. So I will kind of track what toy that they're using. I will track what way that it's faced. But I very much at the very end is when they get to give it a title and tell me a story about their sand tray that they've created. And so it's really about them still being able to share what they want to share with me. And I can kind of get an idea, or if certain themes pop up or they're using the same toys session after session, or they're faced away, then definitely it gives me a better picture. But that really, play therapy is different from traditional therapy because there's not such an emphasis on verbal communication. Now, of course, that's different with an adult or a teenager versus a 4-year-old.
Right.
But very much a lot of adults like the combination of both. I actually have a client I'm working with right now who's in her mid-20s, And we do a combination of talk therapy because she really likes to talk, but then sometimes it's too much in our heads. So then we do some play therapy activities. And we actually played with some fidget spinners and had a snowball fight the other day. And it was one of the best sessions she's ever had.
That's incredible. I mean, it certainly sounds like people are having just a grand old time at a Playful Awareness. Now, absolutely. Sarah, we have to end the show in just about a minute. But I wanted to give you the opportunity to kind of get your information out there. Where can people find you? And more importantly, where can people find Playful Awareness? Do you guys have a website, a Facebook page?
Yes. So you can go to playfulawareness.com, which is my website. And then there is a Sarah Mingus page that has my bio on that. And then we've actually recently moved our office into a suite that is housed by Fleming Counseling. So if you go to FlemingCounseling.com and then you click on our counselors, then I'm listed there as well with my bio as well. You can also find me on Facebook. I have a business page. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on LinkedIn, different things. And I also do quite a bit of blogging, so definitely check out the blog on the website. And then I also will be appearing on Fox 4 News at 8:40 a.m. this coming Sunday talking about the dangers of too much screen time for preschoolers.
Wow.
So definitely check that out.
So Sarah Mingus is like everywhere, basically.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Well, listen, Sarah, thank you so much for giving us a little of your time and letting us kind of delve into your professional life for a little bit. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
This is Principal Broadcasting, the professional's choice.